Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Fred, we said we're going to do a sequel to our Savant show about Steph Curry and Annie Oakley and all those guys, but looks like we can't get to it.
There's so many news stories that have come up, but you know, that was such a fun show, Bob. I really enjoyed that one, but we'll get to it.
Yeah.
And I'll get to part two.
You know, all these traditional savant musicians, sculptors, math and date whizzes, weather whizzes, the photographic memory guys. It's all astounding, but you and I are adding into that the professional sportsmen and women like Annie Oakley.
Yeah. Well, you know, like just this last week, Steph Curry, you know, he burned the court up with, 46 points?
In an NBA play-in playoff game.
Yep.
Yeah, that was really stunning. And you got quite the chart there. We're having so much fun talking about Steph Curry and the Warriors and that he's a savant, but we have the new definition of savant, and we don't want to say what it is now, but people could look at it at rsr.org. Just go to rsr.org/definitions for the updated, corrected definition of savant.
Yep.
But that chart.
So this chart's amazing. It shows Steph Curry's three-pointers. He has the most games with 10-plus three-pointers.
In one game, he shot, and he made 10 three-pointers. That's when you're shooting from way out away from the net.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got 22 of them.
22 games like that?
Yes, where he has
10-plus
three-pointers.
Wow.
So that's at least 30 points, if my math is correct.
Yeah, right.
And so the next closest is Klay Thompson. He's got five. And then the next after that is three, Harden.
And then it goes to two and one. And
nobody, a bunch of ones.
Pretty soon he's going to have more games with 10 or more three-pointers than the entire NBA combined in the entire history
of the NBA.
League. Right now, this year, he's got more games of 10 or more three-pointers than the entire league.
Yep.
So he's a savant.
He is a savant. And
yes,
other broadcasters have called him a savant.
Yeah, we found that out after we did the show 2 years ago, a sports writer in Canada, and then 5 days after our show, an ESPN host calls him an offensive savant.
Yeah, and so maybe that guy's an RSR listener.
That could be.
You never
we'll find
know.
Out in heaven.
Yep.
All right, so we're putting off our sequel to our savant show, which, by the way, if you missed it, did you enjoy that compared to a typical show, Fred?
I very much so, because it was something I had never thought of. I thought it was great that you had this idea of how this ties to creation.
Yes.
And it's remarkable what untapped abilities we have in our brains.
Yes.
Makes me look that much forward
and
going
how
to heaven.
It is, and how it is that they happen to get access to those abilities. rsr.org/savants.
Yeah, and there's a tie-in with the fall of man and everything. It's really interesting.
Really fun. Okay, so we're putting the sequel off to get to five news items or updates from this week. Why don't we list them, Fred, then we'll do them.
Okay, how about Darwin's Arch?
Oh,
this natural bridge?
In the Galapagos Islands?
Yeah, guess what happened to that guy?
What happened?
Well, it fell. It collapsed.
Whoa. And that, you know, it's probably been there for millions of years.
Yeah.
And it's really sad that it collapsed. But the fall of Darwin's Arch is a metaphor for the collapse of the guy's theory.
So much so.
So we'll have to talk about that.
The next, Bob, you gave a presentation.
Yeah, Tuesday night.
Tuesday night to the Twin Cities Creation Group. Now, they've been around for a long time, and I've heard of them for
They're very active of the regional creation groups, like Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship. Well, it was on global flood predictions, and Fred, sometimes you give a talk, and, you know, you just gave a talk. Other times, you feel like you were hitting on all cylinders. For me, it was extremely rewarding, and the feedback so far has been tremendous. And we have a new way now to present the evidence for the global flood and doing that by presenting the predictions, the science predictions that we can make based on the fountains of the great deep.
Yep. And so you've been invited this November to give the same talk to Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship. And I'm very much looking forward to that.
That'll be a lot of fun.
And if you can't be there in person, you can Zoom it. And then also, if you can't be there in person, you can watch it on Zoom or even live on YouTube.
Yeah.
There'll be a live YouTube feed. And then Denver Society of Creation.
They've
invited you also.
So I got to give royalties to the Twin Cities group.
There you go.
Because it was their idea to do this.
Yep.
And how powerful is it when you have a presentation, not just the evidence for the flood, the evidence for a young earth, the evidence against evolution. You know, that's getting old hat. We know that so well, that material. But this is showing the science predictions we creationists make, because Neil deGrasse Tyson said creationists cannot make predictions.
Yep.
So that was really a lot of fun. A next item we'll get to a little later is that we are fighting against a vaccine passport at the U.S. Supreme Court. Your lowly host here in the RSR studios, we have the attorneys for Denver Bible Church have filed at the U.S. Supreme Court, Fred, a preemptive strike against Colorado because we know that they are working on a vaccine passport. And so because we currently have a COVID lawsuit at the Supreme Court, and because the state attorney general went ahead and filed a rebuttal to one of our briefs there, that gives us the opportunity, which we've taken, to add in now a preemptive strike against the vaccine passport here in Colorado.
And Bob, we covered this last week, but that video of the Palestinian leader calling for Arabs in Israel to behead Jews.
Oh, just absolutely terrible.
So we have a follow-up to that.
Yes. What Twitter has done, basically, they say that they're doing good, but really they're helping the terrorists and they're making the world more unsafe for their victims.
Yeah.
That's what Twitter's doing about this video.
A classic
right here.
Example of calling good evil and evil good.
Yeah.
You know?
The Palestinian government in Gaza leader saying we need to start beheading Jews in Israel, and Twitter is really helping them and hurting
absolutely.
The victims.
Yep.
So what's our fifth item?
Yeah. So a reporter called from the American Family Association Radio Network.
Yes.
And this is about that sacred burial in Colorado of a dead baby eagle.
A dead eagle that
unbelievable.
It's in the news.
Yep.
And so, Fred, you brought up, when you heard this story, you brought up a segment on an old Bob and Yurt Live television program we did.
Yeah, one of the classics, and it was on the Eagle Egg Show.
Yes.
That was a fantastic presentation of this argument.
Okay.
I think we should start with this.
Okay. So we'll push off some of these others.
Yep.
All right. So let's first hear News 4, Denver CBS affiliate, reporting really brief on what happened.
Eaglet, who died Wednesday in Westminster, will be cremated and buried with a sacred ceremony in Rocky Mountain Arsenal.
Isn't it just how ironic and bad the left is here in Colorado, you know, talking about this eagle? And it said, an eaglet who instead of an eaglet that.
Oh, yeah, the relative pronoun who, right, for an animal.
Yeah.
And they really do this when they elevate animal rights. This is one thing I said on Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher on ABC that the audience applauded. And the only reason they applauded was because they had no idea what I just said. And I pointed out that whenever you elevate animal rights, you denigrate human rights.
Yep.
And that's what they're doing in Colorado. You can kill unborn babies through all 9 months in the womb for any reason, and they're so concerned about this. So, Fred, you mentioned this clip, and our producer has pulled it up. This is from a BEL televised classic, Bob and Yurt Live, from back in the 90s. And I think we should set this up a little because the video is priceless, and this is radio. So when our listeners hear this, what's the video part that they'll have to come to our website to see the video, rsr.org?
Yeah, good reason to go to rsr.org.
But what would they see there?
They'll see you at a desk doing your TV show, and there's going to be a nest with eagle eggs on it.
Yeah.
And then you're going to do something with those eagle eggs.
Yeah, the story was that, and what we're going to embed will be a shortened version of this full-length show, this TV show.
Yeah, I think
show.
It was an hour long, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. And so we'll embed like 5 minutes of it or so. But on the show, we're out in the middle of Elizabeth, Colorado, which is in the boonies. It's in the boondocks. Yep. And so we're starting, and the farmer comes to the studio and said, Bob, I know you're on the air, and I don't know who to talk to. This eagle has abandoned her nest, and here are these eagle eggs. And I thought if I gave them to you, you would know what to do with them.
And so, you certainly did.
So I think, well, we'll see. But and Phil, who used to bring me the coffee every night, I figured he's an outdoorsman. He had an outdoor show.
Yeah.
On TV. I figured Phil would know what to do, but he's not here. And
That show aired from 10 to 11.
10 to 11, Monday through Friday.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how I found out about you.
Oh, wow.
Well, that was an awesome show.
Well,
I thought
you,
I was going to be tuning into some, wacko televangelist who just
selling miracles and healing.
And then you started making sense. I'm like, so this is really good.
So we thought, what could we do with these eagle eggs? And I asked for a phone book. Back then, they had a thing called a phone book. And I opened up Division of Wildlife. I call them. And you just get, voicemail. I call the Denver Zoo, voicemail. Press one of voicemail. You press one of this, press two. I'm pressing all these numbers, and we're listening to all this advice and nothing to do with what I'm asking for. And so eventually I decide that I don't want these things to be just destroyed for no purpose.
Yeah, there's got to be a purpose here.
For every...
We don't want to waste this opportunity or...
Yeah, for every creature's life, there has to be a valid purpose.
That's right.
So anyway, so let's go back to the audio from 30 years ago.
All right. I have these eagle eggs. These are real eagle. Phil is gone. And I think I have eagle eggs. I've never.
There they are on your desk.
I don't know what to make of this.
We got the nest and all right there.
Sort of warm. Maybe sort of warm. I should call. So I have eagle eggs for some reason. You know what I need to do? I need to call somebody who would know what to do with these eagle eggs that have been abandoned. So I need a phone book.
So time passes.
The best thing you can do is to keep your dogs and cats away from the bird. You can put the bird up on a tree branch, but don't be surprised if it ends up back on the ground.
Tree branch? I have an egg.
If you find a baby bird on the ground that is not fully feathered or only partially feathered, it needs to go back into its nest.
I give up.
If you can't reach
they decided
the
they
nest,
couldn't. Oh, thank you, Greg. Thank you. You have this
So I called for a hot plate.
How do these things work? It has a big...
We got a hot plate from the studio.
Oh, you know what? I need... Greg, could I get an extension cord?
Sure.
Extension cord. This here
is
an electric...
Got a cooking apparatus.
There we go. Boy, that's... Boy, women have it easy these days. Look at this, Diane. You just stick that thing right in there. It's not even difficult. All right.
All right. It's heating up.
It's nice and hot.
Time passes. And the nest
300 degrees. Is that about right? I mean, how do you know?
I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to make eggs.
Warm. Okay. I don't want these things to go to waste. So I think what I'm going to do is... I think it would be a shame to let them go to waste. So I think I'm going to cook them, I guess.
Break the egg. That.
There it is.
Wow, hey, that cooks quick.
Looks like a regular
egg.
Okay,
let me take a call here while I'm doing this. Holly, speak your mind.
Sunny side up.
Yes. For one, I'd like to make a comment on the fact that you just cooked an egg.
Yes.
Now, are those eagle eggs or not?
I believe they are, yes.
Now... Don't you think it's kind of evil, the fact that you're cooking an eagle egg and they're, non-existent almost anymore?
Greg, could you get me salt or pepper or some condiments? Well, Holly, what do you mean? It's evil to cook an egg? Huh?
To cook an eagle egg because they're almost out of existence.
Yeah, but these aren't eagles. These are just eggs.
So right? Commercial break.
No.
We'll be right back. So, Holly, what's up?
Well, for one, I just wanted to comment.
Yeah?
On the fact that those eggs could have been eagle at one time if you would have let them go.
Yeah, but they're not eagles. I mean, they're just...
No, not anymore.
Well, they're just eggs.
Yes, but they could have been eagles.
But when does an eagle become an eagle?
I guess at the time of conception.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you think I broke the law against eating eagles or killing eagles?
Yes, I do.
Even though they weren't hatched?
Yes, I do.
All right. You're not pro-choice, are you?
Yes, I am.
You are?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you're against killing unborn eagles in a shell, but unborn babies, you think it's okay to kill them?
Well, for one, eagles are almost extinct, and humans are very overpopulated.
All right, so if we want to kill some little kids because there's too many humans, is that okay with you, Holly?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll be right back with Holly if she's still there. Apparently, it is breeding season for eagles. Is that what you call it?
Mating
season. In Arvada, Colorado. Steve, speak your mind.
Yeah, you ought to be put in jail.
What?
They ought to put you in jail for doing this.
Why, Steve?
Because there are way too many people, but we don't have enough eagles.
All right. So you're saying these are eagles?
Animals have rights.
Wait, hey, Steve, they're just eggs. They're not even born.
They'd have been eagles if you didn't mess with them.
When does an eagle become an eagle?
You know.
I don't know. Well.
And you should be in jail because you know right and wrong.
Well, now, wait a minute.
I would put you in jail.
All right, Steve, would you put somebody in jail?
I would put you in jail.
All right. Because I killed an unborn eagle. Would you put somebody in jail if they kill an unborn little girl?
Oh, we got enough people. We need more animals.
That's what's happening. Now, I want to understand this, Steve. You're saying it's wrong to kill this egg.
It's wrong to kill an animal.
All right, is it wrong to kill an unborn girl?
We got enough people.
Okay, so you support killing unborn little girls, but you oppose killing unborn animals.
Well, we need to control the population. Control the population. Control the population.
No, we did that.
Control
did.
The
yeah.
population.
But all the photos were showing it on the video.
Control the population.
Now the end.
But when does an eagle become an eagle?
I guess at the time of conception.
She had a hard time getting those words out of her mouth.
Yeah, sure did.
Right? I guess at the time of conception. Yeah. She knew what she was saying.
Oh, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
She didn't. Maybe we could hear that one more time, that very end, her quote. But Fred, at the end of the video, it says, "Very few animals were harmed during the taping of this program."
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, really, it's
fun of Hollywood.
To be serious, though, this is a serious topic, and what a great way to illustrate, you know, just the absurdity
of
their argument is.
They're liars.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're a murderer, if you advocate the killing of an innocent child, you are a murderer.
Yes.
And if you're a murderer, then why not lie? And who cares about being consistent?
Mm-hmm.
Inconsistency is nothing to a murderer. And when people stand before God, these kids are going to testify against them.
Absolutely.
The children. That's why a mom or a dad who's had his own child aborted, killed, needs to ask God to forgive him. And while you're praying to God and asking him to forgive you, you could also ask your child to forgive you. Not that your child can hear you now, but that will need to happen if you're not going to be punished for eternity.
Yep, absolutely.
But when does an eagle become an eagle?
I guess at the time of conception.
Wow, it pained her to say that.
Yeah, it sure did.
I guess at the time of conception.
You know, Bob, one time the salesman came over to my house and he was selling that stuff that cleans your sidewalk. But guess who the sponsor was? It was PETA.
Eating tasty animals?
Exactly, yeah.
The animal rights group?
Yeah, and I said, you know, I might have been interested in this until you said who was sponsoring it, and then I explained to him what they were all about. You know, they're all for research on unborn babies.
Yeah,
you know,
fetal research.
Yeah, ripping
That's
them apart.
That's fine, no problem
but
with that.
They are totally opposed to research on rats and mice, unborn rats and mice.
Yeah, right.
I told it to this kid, and he's like, wow, I didn't know that. Yeah, I'll have to try to maybe hopefully get another sponsor or something.
He was... Yeah.
He was also...
Yeah, he was raising money for PETA by selling a service.
Yep.
Yeah, Robin Duxbury, who is the president of the Rocky Mountain Humane Society, she was on the show back in 1991, summer of 91, in studio, and arguing that animals have rights. And I know automatically that those people who are really worked up about this, that they're all child killers. They all support...
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So when you elevate animal rights... You denigrate human rights. Now, the Bible says that a good man is not cruel to his animals.
Exactly.
That doesn't mean animals have rights.
Yes.
What it means we have obligations toward animals. Yeah. So if somebody's about to kill an animal, you don't have the right to kill them to save the animal. But if somebody's about to kill a child, you do have the right to kill them to save the child. Yep. So toward the end of that program, I asked Robin, well, how about this fetal pig research? What do you think about that? That's, you know, they're getting real valuable medical information with fetal pig research. We're talking about pigs. And she said, oh, that's unethical.
Yeah.
It's immoral. Yeah. And I said, well, where do you stand on abortion? She said, oh, I'm pro-choice.
Yeah. Yep.
Fred, I accused her. I said, the only way I can imagine that someone could be so hypocritical to say it's wrong to kill a fetal pig and it's good, it's okay to kill a fetal baby boy or girl is if you yourself have killed your own child.
Yep.
If you, Robin Duxbury, if you've killed your own child, if you've aborted your own child, then I understand your hypocrisy because you're afraid to acknowledge what you've done. And she just shut down emotionally. It was intense.
Yeah. And you can get the entire Eagle Leg video, the full hour-long version, from the store.
Yeah. Or you could subscribe to the BEL Televised Classics, and every month you'll get 4 or 8 TV shows. And Fred, people have told us now for so many years that they just love it. They get in a routine with breakfast or dinner. They watch an old BEL episode.
They are so, so good. There's so many good ones.
And it's funnier than watching The Honeymooners.
It is.
But you learn about the Bible and morality and economics.
When I first started watching your show, not only was I laughing, I remember my wife comes up the stairs, what are you laughing? You know, what's so funny? And I'm like, this show's great. And also, I learned a ton about the Bible. So you get entertained and also appalled by some of what, you know, some stupidity out there.
Yeah.
And then really educated on the Bible, really, by a lot.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Fred. That's so encouraging. And you and I mean, we've made a lot of friends through this broadcast over the decades. In fact, I heard from one this week. He lives out in the boonies in Colorado again. Paul Kuhn. We have made so many friends through this show. It's so humbling. But Fred, you becoming the co-host of Real Science Radio, and that friendship has now impacted literally thousands of people. So thank you for all those years.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was, great show. And, you know, the radio has still carried on.
Yeah.
And it's been fantastic.
So then down at the Galapagos Islands, Fred, there's this arch. We'll put a photo of it with today's show summary at rsr.org. But it is one, what do you think of it? I think it's one gnarly looking arch.
It's not the best looking natural formation.
Yeah, some
formation.
Of them are, you know, the delicate arch. And
this one's kind of, ragged.
It does look, but it looks real beefy.
Yeah, it is.
And gnarly.
Sure. Yeah.
But
it's not as beefy, though, right now.
No, it collapsed. Yep. It's gone, and the fall of Darwin's arch is a metaphor for the collapse of the guy's theory.
Yeah.
Because the theory of evolution is on its last legs. Professional evolutionists know that. They write about it. They publish about it. But the high priest, like the Richard Dawkins of the world, they just feed you propaganda. But
they do, and unfortunately, that propaganda really sticks. You know, I've got two kids that have, one's finished going through school up at CSU, and, you know, Abigail's going there now, Colorado State.
Yeah.
And she's amazed by how everybody's just so brainwashed on the whole idea of evolution. They're surprised that there'd be anybody who's opposed to it.
In the media, like we aired that CBS4 audio, how gullible, how ignorant, how uneducated they are to think that there's evidence that we evolved from apes. What fools they are, and completely unaware of the state of the art in biology, molecular biology, paleontology, and on and on. But Fred, that brings up the show you and I did in 2017, our list of collapsing natural bridges. This was such a fun list because it argues against an old earth, because everywhere in the world they're all falling and they're not being replenished.
Yeah, so the point is these are supposed to be, in many cases, millions of years old. Are we lucky enough to catch it when it happens, when the thing collapses?
Yeah, exactly. In our list, we have beautiful photographs of these bridges that it's sad that they've fallen because they're tourist attractions. Mm-hmm. They're really awe-inspiring.
Pretty cool looking.
Yeah. So like in the Mediterranean, Malta's Azure Window, it's gone. In Puerto Rico, the Punta Ventana, it's gone. These things collapsed like 2017 in Puerto Rico and 2020 in Utah's Arches National Park. Just gorgeous there.
Yeah, you've had 43 spans collapse.
What?
Yep, 43.
43 in one park.
And this is since 1977.
Oh, my.
43 have collapsed, yet around the world we see these structures fall, but we don't see them form. What's up with that?
Yeah, we don't see them form, and certainly not forming at the same rate in which they're collapsing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a wall arch, one of the largest there, collapsed. In fact, on the West Coast, Natural Bridges State Beach, Fred, Natural Bridges State Beach, it needs renaming because the bridges are all gone.
Yeah.
All the natural arches, they're gone. And so this is the trend all over the world.
They should call it the formerly Natural Bridges State Beach.
Yeah, that's it. That's right. And then before the show, you and I were talking about Landscape Arch in Utah, where this incredible, huge arch and video that some tourists, hikers got was actually, it's
kind
really
of scary. Yeah.
Very scary.
Yeah, a huge 70-foot long slab just fell off this guy. Good thing the person who filmed that was far enough away.
Yeah, you're right. It lost a 30-foot span at one time, then a 47-foot long span, and then this 70-foot long chunk on video. And so this is happening all over the world. We got a photo on our website at, just go to rsr.org and search for collapse. Just search for collapse. Yep. We got a photo of these tourists.
Yeah, like they're sitting on a slab.
A romantic spot up 1,200 feet up above a canyon.
And you've captioned it, lucky couple.
Lucky
That's
couple.
For sure.
That could just go.
Yep.
People think that these formations have been there for millions of years, and people shouldn't be afraid when they go out hiking. But also, you shouldn't have false confidence. These things are not millions of years stable. This is all in the last few thousand years, and so they could collapse, and
many have.
So the next thing, Fred, is Twitter. They took off of their platform the video of this Palestinian government leader in Gaza, Hamas leader, calling for Arabs in Israel to behead Jews. He's saying, buy a cheap knife, 5 shekels, sharpen it.
Terrible.
And he's showing them where the carotid artery is. How do you cut them in the neck to kill them?
Yeah, and we're really glad this guy was killed.
Oh, he was, right? The IDF killed him last week.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so Twitter pulls down this Memories report.
Yeah. Yeah, which is so horrific.
You know, they think they're being good.
Right, exactly. Like, well, this violates our community standard. Well, if your community standard is to help governing leaders who are urging their citizens to murder their neighbors, if that's your standard to help the terrorist and make it more difficult for the victims and the targets, well, then that's some community standard guys have at Twitter.
They're making everything more unsafe for the innocent.
Exactly. That's a community standard, the same way Planned Parenthood is about Planned Parenthood.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, Fred, our last topic is that we're fighting against a vaccine passport for Colorado at the U.S. Supreme Court. And this is really interesting. Now, the government hasn't come right out and said, okay, we're issuing vaccine passports. But we have executive orders from May 14th, 2021. And let me read this here. And we'll link to this from our website, rsr.org. You can go right to colorado.gov and read this. They declare that managers of any business or service may, at their discretion, require individuals entering or within their locations to show proof of full vaccination.
Wow.
How's that?
Yep.
So they are laying the groundwork. In fact, the Democrats at the Capitol did this a couple weeks ago where the Republicans tried their own preemptive strike and said businesses can't do this. And the Democratic Party in Colorado knocked that down. So they're headed toward a vaccine passport. And since we have been suing the state government in federal court, and we've been having these victories along the way, federal district court, the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, and now we filed at the U.S. Supreme Court. And because our lawsuit is there, even though we've won on masks, we've won on capacity limits, and we've won on social distancing, a lot of churches in Colorado have no idea that the government quietly repealed their own executive order that you need to have social distancing in church. That's no longer part of the executive order. At each point in our lawsuit, they have either backed off and given up on their appeals, or they've changed the rules each time. And so now, since the Attorney General of the state of Colorado just filed a rebuttal brief to our lawsuit.
Yeah, to the Supreme Court.
At the U.S. Supreme Court. Then that gives us an opportunity, which we've just taken advantage of, to respond to his rebuttal brief. And we brought in their movement toward a vaccine passport. And we're asking the U.S. Supreme Court to repeal their Jacobson ruling. Remember that back in 1905?
Sort of history with the Supreme Court.
Buck versus Bell, all that. That's all in our lawsuit. And it's been in our lawsuit, Fred, for like 6 months. But now it's really relevant. You remember these cases?
Oh, yeah. Like Buck versus Bell that forced sterilization. You know, more than 60,000 people. And the court ruled 8-1 in that. Unbelievable.
In America, right.
Kudos to the one guy who voted against it.
Yeah. And what they said when they ruled in Buck versus Bell, it's like in the 1920s, and they cited their own Jacobson ruling from 1905 as an authority.
Yeah, that ruling was on forced vaccination.
Forced vaccination.
Because of a smallpox fear.
Yes. And so this Buck versus Bell is recognized as a dark part of American history where mostly minorities, handicapped people were forced sterilized. Yep. And what they wrote in that decision is they mentioned their Jacobson 1905, and they said, hey, if the government has the right to compel you to take a vaccine, surely they have the right to snip a woman's fallopian tubes. If she's not fit, less children from the unfit, and then who decides who's unfit? So the whole thing is evil. And in fact, in Roe v. Wade, if I recall, Roe v. Wade references Jacobson.
Yeah. Yep.
And so I am so thrilled with our attorneys, Rebecca Messel and Brad Bergford. In fact, if somebody's interested in this, you can hear Rebecca on the show just a couple months ago. We went through the history of Jacobson and Buck v. Bell. Just go to rsr.org and search for Buck.
Yeah, and you could argue that the foundation of all these sordid evil rulings is Darwinian evolution.
Yeah, exactly. That the strong can kill the weak. Survival of the fittest.
Get rid of the imbeciles. That was the words of Oliver Wendell Holmes. You know, let's get rid of the imbeciles. Now, I'm slightly paraphrasing.
Like three generations of imbeciles is enough. Yeah, I think that's what he wrote.
Cut it off. Yep.
Yeah, and he wrote, I forget if it was Buck v. Bell or Jacobson, but our attorneys, Fred, they have such a brilliant lawsuit going, and we keep winning. And so now, you know that things are loosening up and there's some relief from the COVID onerous executive orders around the country. But on the drop of a hat, they could push the switch and start up the whole machine all over again.
Yep.
A new strain, whatever the excuse, because power control is a drug to these people.
Yes.
And so with the Denver Bible Church lawsuit being at the U.S. Supreme Court right now, and the justices have not, I hate to call them that, and they have not said yet whether they're going to hear our case, but there's all these procedural updates going on with the case at the U.S. Supreme Court. Perfect timing to get a ruling. Not that it's likely to happen, but we're fighting for it to happen.
We're churning the water.
Yes. We're fighting to get the court to recognize the immorality, the injustice, the crime against humanity of their own rulings.
Yep.
And it's got to stop.
Absolutely. We're out of time, actually.
Yes.
But hey, rsr.org/store. You can go there and buy that Eagle video, the full hour.
Yeah.
You can watch the 6-minute clip on YouTube. Go to rsr.org and check out this show. We'll have it there. But man, you got to get that whole video. It's really good.
When people purchase our videos, our books, our Bible study subscriptions, the sermons.
I'm going through your Acts, by the way, Bob. It's fantastic.
The Book of Acts,
really good.
I'm so encouraged. That was quite a few years ago, but the Bible doesn't change.
It doesn't.
So the teaching is relevant. There might
be some. And I remember a few of the political comments that are in there, from the current history.
You could date it because of who's the president, who's the vice president. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Thank you for that feedback. But when folks subscribe or they purchase any of our resources, it helps us stay on the air. We don't have a mega church behind us. We don't have a foundation behind us. It's you, me, the listener, and the Lord. You know, obviously, the Lord, he's the biggest. He's the greatest. He's the awesomest. He's the creator. But he doesn't send monthly donations to keep the show on the air. That's up to the body of Christ.
Absolutely.
So, Fred, thank you for all you've done to keep the show going, and our producer and the whole team here, and to the listener. Thank you, guys. So for Fred Williams and Real Science Radio, this is Bob Enyart. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.